Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. Oh, this is the real world. Day and night, you struggle fighting. Serious, I'm so for real. Tell me what was how to do. All I did was knock it blue. So just showing love.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, everybody. How's everybody doing? Mad Dad's in the house. Big ups to everybody in, they took my list.
Yeah,
anyway, big ups to all the Mad Dads across the nation, all across the country. I got in here with me today, Mr. John Turnipseed. Turnipseed, how you doing, sir? What's going on with you, man?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Wonderful, black as ever.
You know, we're talking about how to keep your kids safe and how to protect them from violence this summer. You got any suggestions?
You know, violence starts at home. What I mean by that is, you know, we create violent cultures at home. And we train up little Pookie and little Willie to attack people. You know, we send our kids out with mandates. If you come home, if they beat you up, you understand, I'm going to beat you. You better win at all costs. So this little Pookie goes out there, beats a kid up, you understand, and beats him up bad, and then he gets a felony. Now we crying about they should get mercy, but we sent these little warriors out there. Parents have to stop sending these little warriors out there to beat up other little kids. You know, it's just violence is learned at home.
Well, you know, violence is learned at home. And, you know, you talk to these parents, though, John, and they tell you, my family's GD, my family, Vice Lord, my family, family mob or whatever, that's how we raise, that's how we roll, that's what we do, man. That's, you know, that's how the family's always been. What do we say to parents that think like that?
I say to them that they have given their family to a cult. You know, if your family belongs to something else that you don't have any control over, you're in a cult. You know, we want to call it different things. But, you know, if a gang has your family in their grips, and I know this stuff because I used to be in the grip of a gang, you understand? You know, you're being pimped. You know, people get mad about that, but you're being pimped. You, like Malcolm X said, you've been bamboozled and led astray, hoodwinked, bamboozled, and led astray. You understand? So in order to get your kids out of it, we've got to stop letting gangs survive in our community. You understand?
Well, you know, I believe that some folks believe that the way that they've grown up, the way they were brought up, was natural. You know, we know kids right now that say, it's just the way it is. It's just It's just the way it is. We got thieves and pimps and prostitutes and boosters, and, you know, that's what we have in our family. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. We're never going to change a generation. But generations must and will change, John. And how do they go about doing it?
You know, they're absolutely right in a sense, VJ. Adults, we have allowed our communities to be taken over. You know, we glamorize drug dealers and pimps and gang members. We, you know, we let them call shots in our community. So the kids are like, well, what am I supposed to do? You understand? If the kid decides not to be in the gang, who supports him? Who keeps the gang off them? Isaiah Thomas, when he was a kid in Detroit, I believe it was, his mother kept him out of the gang. Yes, the gangs, you know, she would go out there and confront gang members about staying away from her kid. You know, mothers and grandmothers shouldn't have to do that, but they, you know, who's going to protect the kids? Who's going to protect the kids? If you can't protect your kid, he's going to be in a gang. And a lot of people think, well, I'm going to move my kid away from the gang. I'm going to move him to another place. But then you send him back to a school that tolerates gangs, okay? We have a school on campus here. We don't tolerate gangs, you understand? We see one sign of a gang, anything and stuff, you know, there's a problem, you know, and it comes from our whole community and stuff. Plus, we have mad dads, you know. Everybody, every state doesn't have that. But, you know, we can call people into action, you know, and we do.
When I think about the many lives that have been lost, the many lives that have been given up through incarceration and corrections, Department of Corrections, the many young brothers that we go visit on a daily basis, How does it make you feel, John? I know it makes me feel terribly sad when I go to Crystal Ray and I see it, the Latino brothers and sisters over there thriving in a school that was built off the backs of a neighborhood that was predominantly black, black stores, black shops, I don't feel bad for the Latino people and what they've done, but I feel bad for all the waste that we've created in the prisons and in the grave sites through all those years. How does it make you feel?
You know, I've got mixed feelings about that because years ago, we confronted a group of Iranians, I think I'm maybe calling them the right name, that opened up grocery stores all in our neighborhood. We had a town hall meeting, and we were very angry that they were coming in here and taking advantage of our neighborhoods. And finally, the leader of the Iranians told me this. He said, "We came to this country, we seen you didn't have grocery stores. You guys didn't have grocery stores, so we built grocery stores because we're businessmen, we're merchants." And he said, "And furthermore, you don't get mad at Super America when they come into your community. You don't protest them. You don't protest Amoco and all of them that come in and jack up prices on food. But, you know, I said, wow, now that's deep. That's deep because we have given up on being merchants and being business people and stuff, partially because we won't buy from each other. I don't understand that either, you know. So educational opportunities. You get a brother from Africa come here, and in 10 years, he's got a master's degree, okay? We got brothers in America that can't get high school diplomas. Now, either the system is rigged against just African-Americans, or we're not doing something that we're supposed to do to get our kids. By the way, my grandchildren are going to college. They're going, okay? I don't know, care about the deck being stacked or whatever. It's never going to be unstacked. Racism ain't going away. They're going to college because that's in our DNA now. I didn't care if a kid even graduated, but God changed my life 20-some years ago. But we have a problem, and it's inside of our culture that is creating these failures. You know, and you know what? These teachers in these public schools, we were creating scholars during slavery. You understand? We were creating black colleges when Jim Crow was around, and they were still riding around on horses, killing us and hanging us. We were creating colleges and universities and sending out brilliant people, okay? Why is that still not happening today?
Well, that's a good question, and you know, we got a caller on the line that wants to say a few things all the way from Las Vegas. How you doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. I don't know who was speaking, but the voice sounds kind of familiar.
That's John, Mr. Turner.
I know my brother's voice. You know, I don't know what the topic is, but I'm feeling what he's saying. This should be everyday thought in mind to others. It's what he's speaking about. It's educational to others. So I'm just willing to listen more from John Turnipseed because I got children that still need education, that have went on with their life goals, but they need more education. And I need to push my children even more to get education. What little James is doing, he told me the other day, "Mom, I'm going back to school. I have to go back to school." Sierra's still in school. She says the teachers aren't giving her enough. Lulu says school isn't for everyone. School ain't wasn't for me. So I'm to push them.
Mm-hmm. So what we were talking about is, and you can talk about this a little bit, and then we're going to listen to John. How are we going to prepare these kids for this summer? What can parents do?
Oh, my God. Parents have to get up, clean their homes up, number one. When I say clean their homes up, not just making them look pretty. Go in your kids' room, check the drawers out, look in the shoes, look up under the bed. Clean your homes. Make sure that the company that they bring to the house is decent. If you got to do a thorough pat down check, do that. It starts at home first. It starts at the dinner table, prayer first, sit your kids down and tell them what you demand from them, and that's to know where their well-being is at all times. Respecting other people is number two. They have to go out here and respect their neighbors. Number three, we have to be observers as parents. We have to get up, yes, go to work, but still be on your kid's schedule. Don't shut down and go in your bedroom and close the doors and say, I'm tired, and you don't know what's happening. Outside that bedroom, you don't know where your kids are at. We have to be eyes. We have to start taking vitamins. We got to start feeding our brain to get out here to start living. We have to start living again. We have to start living. We have to start eating right. We have to start. We got to get in shape. We have to learn how to run and chase these kids down, and not just our children, all children. We have to be able to have the strength to tell these kids, no, respect. I don't want to hear this. I'm not having this. This is the way it's supposed to be. This says the Lord.
Wow, that's some great advice. Hey, John, I'm going to come back to Mama Teresa later. How do you teach these parents? They expose kids to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we begin to teach these parents that they don't need to sit there and watch everything on TV with their kids? They don't need to send their kids to the homicide shooting. They don't need to, you know, like a young lady was in our office the other day. She said, I will set my baby down and whoop your black. Right?
Mm.
Set your one-year-old baby down, and then I'll commence the whooping on your... What do you think kind of exposure that is for a one-year-old? That one-year-old will never forget that.
You know, violence and all the ugly things are learned at home. They're cultivated at home. You know, and we can do some simple things at home to shape our kids' future. You know, just imagine if you had a house that you didn't allow cussing in. Just imagine if you had a house that you ate dinner together every night, okay, or at least 5 days a week. And just imagine you had a household that when your kids came in, the first thing that had to be done was their homework, okay? And they had to get that done. Just those simple things, taking the cussing and fighting out of your house, you understand, making homework a requirement, understand, and eating dinner with your family. Them are just three easy steps. Start shaping a culture at home, because what you learn at home, you will do in the streets. If a kid is cussing at home, he'll cuss in the street. If he's running around acting crazy at home, he'll do it in the streets, okay? And the other thing is, no illegal drugs in your house. And when I say none, yes, marijuana is a drug, okay? I find little kids get on the school bus smelling like weed every morning. So you're setting an environment that says breaking the law is all right. Change the first thing that you have control over is changing the environment in your house.
Now, I agree with that, John. Let's see. Mama Therese, what do you think about that? What would you like to add to that?
I agree. You know, kids fix their plates and go to their room and eat. I just believe that we all need to sit at the table and eat and pray before we eat, and we can find a lot of conversation over the table, over the dinner. You know, we can find out who our children are. I'm just disappointed because we're not doing better. We have had this conversation over and over in so many different ways, but we're not doing any better. And what Turnip Seed is saying right now, he needs to be on a bullhorn and just going through the neighborhood. And then mothers will say, well, I haven't sat down and ate with my kids in months. Matter of fact, in years. We don't do that. That's not of the norm. But that's the way of the world. That's the way it should be. I agree. I really agree. No good.
Well, you know, we have also got to teach our kids a way of looking at life differently. It seems like There's so much fear. There's so much anger. There's so much bitterness. There's so much of that in the world that we have to start beginning to teach our kids how to see the brighter light, the brighter side, the betterness of this community, and not see so much of the negative images. Matter of fact, when the news reporters come to me now, I say there are good things going on in North Minneapolis. There are great things going on in South Minneapolis. There are wonderful things going on in this city. Unfortunately, you only come to me about the bad things. I wish that you were there when I was doing some of the great things. People going to treatment, people going back to college, people going back to their families, people coming out of incarceration and going into some great things. We've got great stories, John, but unfortunately, those stories aren't being told.
Absolutely. You know, even in our city, you sort of have to know your city. People don't realize that the highest poverty rate for African Americans is in South Minneapolis, not North Minneapolis, but we think that because the newspaper dictates to us how our community is. But the only way we're going to change all this is one family at a time, one household at a time. You understand? One house on a block can change the whole block if that house is negative or positive. So we have some power, we're just not utilizing it and stuff. And I'm not asking you to change every kid. I'm telling you to change your kid. I'm telling you to keep your grandchildren from searching down my grandchildren and trying to shoot them in the head. You understand? Because I'm teaching mine the same thing. And I'm teaching mine the other mistake we make. We train our kids to work for people. We train them to grow up to work for people. We train them to go for a job. Job. Other people, like the Trumps, train all their kids to be entrepreneurs. Okay? That's what they're going to do. And other families train their kids to be leaders and everything. Stop training your kids to work for people. Train them to be a champion of the world. You understand? Train them to be the biggest and best thing out there. You understand? I don't care if they want to be a janitor. Train them to own a janitorial business. You know, it starts at home. It really does.
Well, you know, when you talked about one of the reasons why we don't train our kids to do something, because it's hard to train them to do something we haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
So when we owned Crown Records up on 38th Street, when we owned Sabathany, when we owned all those places, our kids could come work there.
Yeah.
Now we got corner stores where our kids can't come work there.
Yeah.
When the Jewish folks had to be in our neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
and when they left, they gave us them stores. For some reason, we weren't trained enough, or we didn't, because we went from being customers to being owners, I think, too rapidly without the training. We should have been trained as the Jewish people went along, trained us to own them stores, then gave us those stores. But I think it happened too fast, and the Jewish folks moved a little bit too fast, moved out of this neighborhood, moved out to Edina, Minnetonka, and everywhere, because they were looked at as white folks then.
Mm-hmm.
They were no longer second-class citizens. And so when they gave us these businesses, we weren't prepared. When they sold them, we weren't prepared to buy them. We were so used to being customers.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about South Minneapolis being full of poverty, let's think about this, John. Why isn't that known? Why is that such a secret that everybody thinks all the poverty is on the north side?
We let the newspapers tell us who we are and what we are. You know, we let the newspapers, you know, little black kids are watching the news tell them that they're gangsters and that they should be rappers or a basketball star. You know, you can't even get black scholars, you know, these kids that are straight A students. Why ain't there TV shows about that? Why? Because if they don't look at us like that. You know, when I watch the National Spelling Bee contest, I've yet to see young black kids in that arena. You understand? But when we intentionally do something with young African-American kids, it blows up. I mean, good for the good. I've seen brothers take them and teach them chess. You know, these young black boys, if we teach them something, they'll learn something. We can't go back in history and change what has happened, but we can chart a new future. And you ain't got to be a rocket scientist, you know, to take your kids to the greatest heights. But you got to take charge of your home, and you got to be honest enough. I know some people, you know, in our community and stuff that got kids living at home, smoking weed around them, letting them smell dope and all kinds of stuff. that ain't taking charge. That's not being a good parent, you know. Your kids deserve better.
Okay, no problem.
We got Mama Trees coming out here on the 29th, I think. Mama Trees, talk a little bit about what your goal is and what you want to do to help the mothers in our community when you come out here.
Well, I'm coming out to, I want mothers, grandmothers, nieces, cousins, goddaughters. I want all the women, it, the baby girls, bring them out so they can hear the untold story. And I'm not going to tell the untold story on here. That means you ain't got to come out and hear it. But come on out and hear it from Mama Tree. We're going to have some breakthroughs in there. We're going to have some seed planted in that auditorium that day. Just know that when Mama Tree leaves and all the other women leave, we are going to make a difference in the community because we're going to have everything that we need to get out here to make a difference. You know, I want to go back to speaking on what Turner P. said about the businesses. The reason, what I feel, my personal feelings, is the reason why we can't get ahead is families like the Champions, it's families like the Nuns. We all grew up together, and we all are family. And we're not blood family, but we say we're family. We will actually let someone out of our community come in and put a business in our community and run the store, and we will run to that store. But if Catrice Champion end up getting a store, guess what? They don't want to see me get ahead because they think I'm getting too much. They think I'm growing too much. So that's where the hatred comes in at. Instead of supporting me so I can have your kids, so I can teach your kids. My daughter Sierra just told someone she will never work for anybody in her life. She will be working for herself. So she's already starting her business. I didn't tell you, VJ, but she started her business, and I am going to back her up 100%. No, she never had a job. And she know if she become a hot dog seller, she could turn that hot dog into, look, chili dog, coleslaw dog, it's pineapple hot dog. She know 100 ways to make a hot dog sell. So I'm teaching my children how to be entrepreneurs.
Well, that's great, and that's absolutely wonderful. What is the date and location of this great opportunity for people to come out and hear the untold story?
It's going to be April the 29th, 2 to 5, at North Commons Gym. It's going to be in the gym. It's going to be a good food. It's going to be a lot of mentors there. A lot of entertainment is going on there. We're going to have some praying going on there. I don't do nothing without prayer, opening up with prayer. So, yes, we're going to have some prayer going on there. Mr. Turnipseed, I will be happy to see you and your wife show up on that day. I need you to do some praying for me. So
okay.
I had to spring that on you. So it's
going to
be a beautiful event.
Well, that's all right. Well, Joanne's listening. She says she's ready to help you out. She's ready to do whatever you need her to do. She's going to be there to support you.
Thank you.
You know, we want to say big ups to all our chapters in Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Lincoln, Omaha, Jacksonville, Florida, Palm Beach, Tampa, and the national headquarters right here in Minneapolis. Our topic today has been about violence in our community, our youth, and how do we prepare them for summer. I say start early, start often, get your kids into programming, find out what's going on in the community, make them a part of it, get them into basketball programs, baseball programs, any kind of program that you can get them into. But don't just drop them off. Why don't you get involved in the program? Most of these programs need parents to help out. I talk to these coaches. They don't have support. They don't have the kind of love and attention they need. They can't feed you. Dropping the kids off hungry. You pick them up, they still hungry. The coach ain't got a budget for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we forget about all that. Why not just, you go on barbecue and well, barbecue right there, feed the rest of them 30 kids, help out, take a load off of the coach, help some of these coaches. These coaches do it because they love it. But what makes it hard for coaches to be good coaches is we don't get behind them. I'll go in the white community, man, and those parents are behind these coaches like crazy. I mean, you, if the coaches say, I need some toilet paper, there's about 22 rolls there. All the coaches got to say, or our teacher in our school's got to say they need something. I was at my granddaughter's school. She had a whole box full of tissues and paper towels, and she says, I just ask parents for what I want. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
In the inner city school, the floors are dirty. The classrooms are filthy. The teachers are asking for stuff, and they're not even getting it from the staff. So, John, any closing comments, and then we'll go to Mama Treats. Any closing comments about what we talked about today?
Yeah, just thank you, Mama Treats, for all you do, and look forward to seeing you come. Remember that the key to solving the world's problems right in your home. Change your home, and don't worry about everybody else. If everybody do what they're supposed to do, we'd be fine.
Mama Treats.
Yes. You know, I'm full of joy every day through the death and the living. I'm just full of joy. And when someone see Mama Treats, they're going to see the little light shining on her. And I'm gonna let it shine on others. And I got a lot of stuff ahead of me. And I'm just thanking God every day for preparing me for the days, the upcoming days. So, yes, Mama Treats will be in Minnesota, April the 29th, 2 to 5, North Thomas, The Untold Story.
All right, you heard it right here on, I was going to say KMOJ. But you didn't hear it on KMOJ. I think I was thinking about Q-Bear. Q-Bear is very sick. They're doing a GoFundMe for him. And I don't know if he's coming back to the airways or not. I'm not sure. But he's got congested heart failure and some other things going on. And so he's back home now. But he's got a GoFundMe account. So if anybody go to Q-Bear's Facebook, look at his GoFundMe. I plan to put something on there today to help and support him. He's a good man. Thanks for listening to Blog Talk Radio. And we will be back next Tuesday, same time, same place. Street Talk, Mad Dads, all of it included, right here, Blog Talk.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, because you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle, fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.